We'll talk to you a little bit tonight about your job description. When you hired on with the company, they told you what they expect out of you, right? And I know you pull a flatbed, right?
Yes.
And what do you pull?
Drive van,
and of course you're in a van. Every job is a little bit different, right? In the old days, when hiring with a company, I'd ask them, how do you want me to log? But thank God that's over. We don't need that. I hear more and more guys and ladies running legal. That's the way it ought to be. You work your time, go to bed. And that's good. So when you go to a company, flatbed, they'll ask you, got any flatbed experience? You know how to handle tarps? You know how to, you know, use chain binders? I guess you use straps a lot now, don't you?
Yes.
Rather than chain.
Yeah, we don't touch.
Is that right? No chain?
Not in our company.
Good. That's great. Because when I was pulling a flatbed, I wasn't quite as heavy as I am now. And picking the tarp up was not an option. That's not going to happen. You know, not pick it up and put it on the truck. I learned real quick, don't let that forklift leave till the tarp is on top. And then, of course, you can roll it out. But anyway, job description. I've said many times, and I'll show you tonight in Scripture, that all born-again Christians are called into the ministry. And you and I was talking before the service, and the ministry is not in this chapel. It's actually out there. And the ministry, too, is, of course, outside the four walls of the church. Some churches don't realize that and try to keep it contained within the walls, but I'm glad we go to a church. And in fact, if it wasn't, I wouldn't be there. But it says, go. You know, go out and do something. In fact, where I was ordained many, many years ago, 1980, Dr. Brian Lee was called a preacher factory because he wanted you to get saved, grow in the Word, and then go out. Don't become a spiritual couch potato. God is looking for a few good men, if I may use the Marines saying there. And if we're born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, right? Every Christian has the same Holy Spirit living in them. We say sometimes, you know, Jesus lives in my heart. Well, technically that's not correct. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And the interesting thing about him, the Holy Spirit, is that he's the one that had the book wrote to start with. So if he's living in you, and you read the book, he's going to tell you what it means. No problem. I've had many drivers saying, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know. And I hope before the night's over, you are challenged to take the Word of God wherever you go, and not only just take it, share it. The psalmist wrote, "Thy Word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." I think if we study that out, he'll say, "I placed it in my heart." Not hidden as in, I don't want you to see it. But your word I have. And then, well, Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, what happened? The mouth speaks. So whatever we put in there is going to come out of our mouth, good, bad, or ugly. I was fortunate when I got saved, the Lord miraculously cleaned up my mouth. And I say that just thanking God. Now, my son, we were talking the other day, we got to spend last Saturday together on doing some work for helping some people, and he was saying he was still having a problem sometimes with language. I said, well, that just happens to be the area that you need work on. I can't point my finger at you because I don't need work in that area, maybe, right? I need work in all areas. But, you know, I have a weakness somewhere else. So that's why I believe the Lord wants us to get together, especially as truck drivers, right? We can share because we've been there and done that. We got something in common. And you said earlier about sitting around the counter in a truck stop. What a great place to share Jesus. What a great place. That's right. You know, God's name is going to be used one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Right? What's amazing to me is the world will use God's name in vain, as we might call it, cursing. And we're not supposed to say a thing. But if we use God's name in praise or correction, they tell you to keep it to yourself or you know, several other things. Now, we've got a choice to make right there. Do I shut up or do I share? Now, again, this is not argumentative. This is not to argue or cause all that, but rather make a statement. I mean, guy walking around across that big can't hardly be missed. And he's got a T-shirt on, too, about the Jabez prayer. And I like it. And you better not pray that prayer unless you're ready to go, because he's going to expand your coast, right? So, as a matter of fact, pray for us. We're talking with some people now about a location, possibly a location in Monterrey, Mexico, for the first time. We may cross the border. And so pray for us about that. That's not happened yet, but it's possible. If the Lord wants it to, let's go. And I mean, when a driver down there sends me a letter, actually a more like a file, with the vision God gave him with a drawing of, it looked almost just like this in the drawing. Now, he had never seen this. And he got in a truck in Mexico and found a track in it from Truck Stop Ministries. It was a slip seat, you know. Grabbed this truck to use today, and there was a track on Truck Stop Ministries. So the Lord is, you know, you say, well, duh. That's not coincidental. Our job description in a nutshell is going to the trucking world and tell them about Jesus. Well, let's get some scripture. If you have your own Bible, I'm going to be, well, pick up one of those in the pew, or pew. We don't have pew. In the seat. We don't even have pews at the church. Where'd I get that from? In fact, don't go to our church on Sunday night. You have to stack the chairs when you start to leave. They use that roof for something else. No, I was kidding. Come on over. We'll stack the chairs. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and start in verse 17. While you're looking there, in Isaiah chapter 61, now let me back up. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is teaching, of course. He was handed the scroll or the book. Well, Luke 4:17 says that. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. So from Isaiah 61, you know what? This is so fascinating to me about the Bible, is how it works together, you know. The prophecies, you know, and some people say it's you only need the New Testament. Some will say you only need the Old Testament. You need the whole thing. You're not going to get the whole story without reading the whole book. And I could tell you horror stories of people I've run across that tried to tell me, you know, you only need this. Well, that's funny. He put 65 more books around what I need. You know, no, I need the whole thing. And but Isaiah chapter 61 is where Jesus is reading from, if you someday want to look back at it. And it says this, he was handed, Luke 4:17 says, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found a place where it's written. And this is from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Now, let's look at that just for a moment before we go any further. What he said. He said, "He is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Who is that? The Holy Spirit, right? Jesus had the Holy Spirit power working in him the same as we do, right? He says he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Does that mean poor financially, you think?
No.
No. What does it mean? Poor.
Poor in spirit.
That's right. Poor in spirit, right? If you look at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 or 6, somewhere along there, it talks, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's, and I got a teaching on that. You can get that from the office sometime. But the Beatitudes, by the way, is growth steps in a Christian's life. Everybody's in one of them somewhere. So you can find yourself in there. You can find your identity. Back in the 60s, they were trying to find myself. Well, you can find yourself in there. But he says here, he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and as you said, that is the spiritually poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Boy, is there brokenhearted people in the world today. And one of the reasons the world is so brokenhearted is it's been greatly disillusioned, right? Money's supposed to bring happiness. I was one of those that was raised extremely poor, and I thought that if I just had money, you know, because we didn't have nothing. My mother weighed 6 head of board by herself with a 3rd grade education. I'm often quoting my mother because she had great, I call it 3rd grade theology, not far from where you live, as a matter of fact, over there in Appling County, Georgia. And Maya told my daughter the other day, they put one of our granddaughters in pre-K at the church. And I said, my pre-K was at the end of a cotton field and edge of the wood on a cotton sheet. That's where I spent my whole day while she was out there picking cotton. We had it bad, but we had love. But I grew up and as an adolescent thinking, if I could just get out of this place. What was that old rock and roll song? We got to get out of this place. Well, that was what I was thinking. I got to get out of here. And Satan was waiting with the trap. And he blessed me for a while. Now, what I mean by that is I was living for him. I went the wrong way. I'm not proud of that. I was making a lot of money. Had everything that I thought I wanted. And the amazing thing was, and I still remember it today, is riding down the road in my big truck, you know, thinking, why am I not happy? I got the new Super Sport. I got the new house. I got, you know, stuff. But how many knows the more stuff you get, the less happy you really are because now you got all this stuff to take care of. In fact, I've seen God's blessing turn into curses, and I got a teaching on that too, but I've seen a blessing turn into a curse because it got in the way of the person serving God. I'm glad to say I have friends, and you probably do too, that's worth multiple millions of dollars. Of course, first thing, you wouldn't know it, just being around. But that doesn't get in their way. A good friend of ours that helped me with maintenance on my vehicle owned a shop. Come on in. Owned a shop less than a mile from here. And he's got 2 drag racers. Does what we call bracket racing. Drag racing. And I asked Steve one time, I said, how do you deal with that when the race is on Sunday? He said, go to church first and then race. I said, that's the right priority. They have, of course, now ministries at racetracks, and NASCAR's got theirs, and this is NHRA, of course. You know, we have to have our priorities straight. But all around him at a racetrack are brokenhearted people that's actually got a lot of money, a lot of stuff. But they haven't found peace, right? So those of us that have peace need to share it. And you don't have to worry about running out. There's plenty more where that comes from. Amen? And that's why I try to get up every morning while I'm getting my coffee and trying to get my eyes open. Actually, I put in one of these DVDs at the house. And I'll either have scripture playing. I'm not sitting there focused on it, but I'm hearing it as I go about my morning routine. Or I'll have scripture playing, or I'll have gospel music playing. Because I've learned something. And don't get me wrong, I watch the news, see what's going on, get the weather report and all that. But if I sit there and watch that news for a while, I'll get depressed. Just like what's the speech going on right now, tonight, the State of the Union.
State of the Union address.
Right? Well, don't get me wrong. I don't hide from that. You know, I'm not saying bury your head in the Bible and act like you're not in this world, you know, because we need to know how to make investments, stuff like that. But I don't sit and listen to that. First of all, we're going to have 10,000 commentaries on it by noon tomorrow. I mean, everybody in the news business is going to tell us what he really meant, right?
Interpretation.
Yeah, and we really don't know. And besides that, I don't trust in the government. My trust, my faith is in God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm proud of America, thankful America. As bad as she is, she's the best one going. Amen? It's the best one going. And our president, whether you like him or not, is a pawn in God's chess game. That's all. That's all. Don't matter whether you like him or not, all these things are written down right there. There ain't nothing going to happen that isn't in this book. And I know he's doing things from his own and all that, but it's all right here. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if we're looking at him, we're going to be brokenhearted because he as in anybody, will let us down. Right? Chaplain Joe let you down. Sometimes you'll call and I won't be available or miss the call. I mean, how many times that happened? Oh, Lord, they called me yesterday or whatever. Well, I just let somebody down. And it goes worse if we keep our eyes on people. So if we have the Holy Spirit living in us, then we have the ability. He said, here he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Brother, we're in Luke 4:17 in that book. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Well, how can I do that if I'm brokenhearted? See? And I've learned something. I can really be having a so-called bad day, and if the Lord will let me get to where somebody's at to minister to, while I'm talking to them, guess who else is hearing it? Me. Right? I said, what? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but there's another thing to that, is whatever the mouth speaks goes in the heart. So it kind of recycles your thought. Romans 12:2, you know, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And by the way, notice the ing on that. That's ongoing. I didn't pay much attention in school, but I did pick that up. Hated English in school. But once I started studying the Bible, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. English is. So he said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. All right? Captives. We're right across the street from Death Row in Georgia. Right over on the other side of this road is where great big, they call it Georgia Diagnostic Center. Everybody's convicted of a crime comes here, and then they decide where they're going to spend their time. They'll assign them to a prison from here. But they come here first. Did you know that there's couple of hundred trucks here, right here. Well, we're counting all these trucks, probably, 500-600 trucks sitting here that are not behind bars, but a lot of them are captive. A lot of them are in prison. Amen?
Amen.
He's talking, again, more spiritual than physical. And there again, our job description as a born-again Christian is to go find them and share the word with them. How do I find them? It's real easy. Exactly. All you got to do is open your eyes and open your ears. Right? I don't like to hear that stuff either. But if I get up in the morning, which I always try to do this, and say, God, use me for your glory today. I have no idea, Lord, what I'm going to get into today, but you do. You know how my day is going to run. So just help me to have enough wisdom to grab it when you... When you offer me the opportunity, don't let me be in a hurry or down or whatever or too busy to minister to somebody. Now, when I say minister, sometimes just sitting there listening. I've said many times, if you want to know what a preacher's job is, take the pee off. And all of us are reachers. In fact, we're all preaching a gospel one way or the other. I mean, like I say, the world preaches there. A guy jumped all over me one night for on the CB one of the thousands of times, but that's okay. What we say earlier, right? If you're good at, if you're, what do you say? If the devil ain't after you?
If a Christian's life is easy, you're doing something wrong because the devil ain't there, ain't scared of you.
There you go. If a Christian life is easy, you're doing something wrong. The enemy's not afraid of you, right? And listen, Satan will go with the live and let live stuff. Really?
Yeah, you're not a threat, he'll leave you alone.
That's right. God help us not to ever get where he don't attack. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't look forward to that. But I'm not stupid. I know it's coming, so we prepare for it by praying, studying, and so on, right? As the ministry, I'd be naive to think he's never going to attack us because there's souls being won to Christ. There's people being born again through this ministry. So, guess what? In fact, praise God, we're applying for a grant right now. We've done, David's wife is our bookkeeper. And we've done a whole lot of research, put a whole lot of stuff together to present. And last year at this ministry, and I'm not talking about me now, please understand. I said the ministry, everybody. Averaged 100 people a month coming to Christ. Isn't that great? I mean, praise God. That's awesome. And some of y'all were part of that because you was praying for us, see? Some support us financially. Some do this. It's all a team. But now, the enemy don't give up them 100 a month and say, "Oh, rats." Right?
Look at Job.
Yep. He's coming. He's coming, and that's okay, because we're ready. We better be, right? We better be. Man, I learned that as a old 19-year-old when I got into Vietnam and figured out they're going to shoot back. This ain't John Wayne, man. Really. I mean, you grew up quick. Well, what do? We prepare for that, right? Try to stay alert all the time. So let's put that over on the spiritual side and go out to the brokenhearted, to the captive, and it says recovery of sight to the blind. Does that mean they can't see with their eyes? No. What does it mean? Anybody? It means they're not seeing the word. The Bible says that Satan, as we used to say, pulled the wool over their eyes. That's South Georgia theology. He blinded the eye. And what is 2 Corinthians 10:4, somewhere along there? Or 4:10, something like that. It says he's blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. Satan got all kinds of things going on so we won't see the truth. And I've had many people, when I was witnessing to them, say, "It can't be that easy." Well, yes, it is. To be born again, I mean. Yes, it is. All you got to do is decide you want to. That's 99.910% of it right there. Because if I decide I want to do something, I'll do it. Right? Be it learn to drive a truck. Right? I remember climbing up in the cab the first time. And it was a 10-speed back then. I saw the data plate on shift pattern on the dash. And it said 1-6-2-7-3, you know. I said, "How in the world can you be in two gears at one time? I ain't know nothing about no splitter." Right? But, of course, I said, he can drive it, so I can drive it. And I determined I was going to learn how to drive. And I did, and I enjoyed my career. I enjoyed driving a truck. I love it. I love it. Be doing that today if I were not here. But I don't want to leave here and go there, by the way. Quite happy where I'm at, Lord. Cool it. I'm not making suggestions. Every time we go by a truck for sale, my wife say, "Don't look over there." You don't need that. Woo! I don't need a lot of things, but I want it. Because I love to be out there where you are, right? Not as a chaplain per se, not as the preacher, which I am, and I'm thankful for that. But just one of the guys sitting at the counter like y'all are, sitting at a table, CB, whatever. By the way, CB means Christian Broadcasting, in case anybody ever asked you. That's Christian Broadcasting. And no, I won't turn mine off.
Nope,
ain't going to happen. I'm just like Jerry Clower said, jump in there amongst them. Somebody get some relief, you know. And like I say, I've been scolded many times for preaching on the radio. And I told a guy that night, I'll never forget it. In fact, it's right up here going by McDonough. I'll never forget it. I was coming south, headed out. And I said, all I said was, God's last name is not damn. That's all I said. He said, shut up preaching on the radio. For me, that ain't preaching yet.
But it's an invitation to.
I said, well, what I said to him is, when you quit preaching, I'll quit preaching. And of course, he said, I'm not preaching. I said, yes, you are. You said G-O-D, and I said G-O-D, and you said I'm preaching. If I am, you are. By now, I got him so confused, he don't know what he said. He said, man, I hope you're going the other way. I said, but I ain't. Because I done heard him say he was going toward Bikini. I said, we got a long night together. Will you go on? I said, uh-uh. Can't do that. I'm compelled to run with you. And, of course, I didn't say it, but whatever you got, you're not going to outrun me. And I won't go no further with that. I had a boss that, anyway. Hallelujah. He wasn't going to run off and leave me. He might slow down. But you know, and I don't mean to sound like I was forcing. But you see, he used my father's name. Mm-hmm. I love him. You understand? I love him. No offense to you, ma'am, but I'm married to the most beautiful woman that's ever lived. There's no question in my mind. David has an attractive wife. You have an attractive wife. But for me, there ain't none like mine. And if you said something about Jan in front of me, guess what's going to happen? I might forget I'm saved for a few minutes. My old preacher used to have my backslide and whip the tar out of him. Probably not literally, but I would say something in her defense, don't you think? I wouldn't just walk off. I couldn't do that. So why do I walk off or turn it off when somebody uses my father's name? Hello? Oh, I just turned mine off. Ain't going to happen. And don't get me wrong. Don't start World War III. Just make your statement. We come to heal the brokenhearted. We come to preach the gospel to the poor. We come to give recovery of sight to the blind. There's people out there right now that want Jesus in their life, sitting in this parking lot, but they've been blinded. They don't think they can be saved. And they're honest about it. We had a driver walk up to this chapel. It was sitting right over there where it used to be. And Howard English was here, I think it was. And he brought the flyer back and handed it to him. And Howard thought, and by that time Howard walked up to the step, they kind of met, if I remember right. And he handed him the flyer back, and Howard said, what's wrong? He said, I'm not worthy to go in there. I'm a sinner. And Howard said, that's why it's here for you. You come right on in. But the guy was broken, but he had been blinded. He didn't think God loved him at all. How many times have you heard that? God couldn't love me. And you might even hear Christians say God could never love him or her. Wrong. Wrong. He loves him or her just as much as he does you. In fact, he loves the prostitute or whoever we might want to name just as much as he loves Dr. Billy Graham. And I use him because he's my hero. He loves him or her just as much as he does me. His love is totally unconditional, so we need to go out and share that with the world. Go out and share that with the world. In fact, the Great Commission over in Matthew 11, I think it is. Is it 11? No, 28. Whatever the last chapter is. I can't remember. But if you go over there, the Great Commission there, he said, preach the gospel to every living creature. Right? Sometimes on the CB, I would tell them, you know, well, they'd tell me to shut up. And I said, well, I can't. The Bible tells me to preach the gospel to every living creature. And since you cussed, I heard you. I know you're alive. So you're fair game. Well, turn your radio off. I said, nope, you have to turn yours off. Well, where are you at? Well, let me tell you, I'm at mile marker so-and-so. He wasn't prepared for that. I was supposed to just shut up. And that's what I tell him, yeah. Let's stop and have a cup of coffee and talk about this. I'm buying. Well, let's have dinner. Fine, I'll buy that too. I'll buy you dinner if you just let me talk to you.
That's a small price to pay with somebody
the Lord. Certainly is. Besides that, it'll come back real quick. And if it don't, I don't care. That ain't what it's about. Preach the gospel to every living creature. Now, there's a song, I can't remember the name of this family that sings it, but there's a lyric in it that says, he never promised the cross wouldn't get heavy. He never promised us that it'd be easy, right? He never promised us that we wouldn't be attacked. In fact, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me in your Bible there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul is giving us a preview of what's going to happen. Okay? Yep, it ain't might happen. It's going to happen. I'll never forget, like I say, in Vietnam, that great big old sergeant, you know, we'd landed over there and we was in country training, you know, and had my marksman badge that I was so proud of. I got basic training, man, I'm cool. I'm one of the best. Well, shoot, any squirrel hunter can do that. I mean, you know, right? If you was raised hunting, it's not hard to shoot a target, knock it down. He said, you mighty proud of them marksman badges? And I thought, yes, everybody. He said, these targets going to shoot back. I thought, uh-oh. I hadn't thought about it. I never had a squirrel shoot back at me. I mean, you know, no deer ever shot back at me. I mean, really, it was like, oh, no. I mean, really, think about it. You're in a free fire zone. You know what that means? Anybody can shoot anybody at any time. Whoa. That wasn't good news. But he thank God he took several hours and told us what to expect in Vietnam. Okay? We're here. This is not classroom. We're here. You understand? Paul here, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. Are you there? I'm reading out a New King James. Yours might be a little bit different, and those in the Cedar New King James. He said, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. In other words, we know about the cross. We're carrying around that knowledge. But we also have the life, the resurrected life of Jesus in us as well. You ever feel like if you're a driver, I know you've experienced this. You feel like you're the only Christian in 100 miles. Even at work sometimes, right, David? It just seems like everybody is against you. I remember one time people listening to these CDs get tired of the same stories over and over. But I'll never forget, sitting in Dallas, Texas, had a flat tire, waiting to get in, lined up on the bay, you know, my turn two or three later or whatever. And a prostitute came on solicited. This driver was talking back to her. I said, hey, guys, take a break. This is Sunday morning. And it was Sunday morning. Dallas, Texas, the old TA at Mesquite, right? Been there and done that, right?
Yep.
And when I said that, it was like starting World War III.
Oh, yeah.
And both of them was after me. And I love it. This driver, I call him Leroy Brown. Remember that song? I called him just for fun. I didn't call him that literally, but in my mind. Where are you at? I've been waiting for you to ask that. If you look, there's a Peterbilt sitting lined up with door number 3 or whatever it was. I got a flat tire. On my hood, there's a big white dove. On both sides of the sleeper, there's a cross. Every mud flap says Jesus is Lord. I don't think you can miss it.
Come on over.
Come on over. And I think we mentioned coffee. Well, of course, then he started changing his tune, you know, and found out I wasn't running. And don't get me wrong, I'm a coward by nature. I really am. But when I found out who I am in Christ, that was over.
That's worth standing up for.
That was over, okay? And then, of course, what was her name? Sugar Britches. Never forget this. This was in 76, 77, 78, right along in there, because that's when I was running New Mexico. Then she chimed in. Will you buy me dinner, baby? I said, yes, ma'am. Be happy to. Well, I'll come to your truck. No, ma'am. We don't do it like that. I'll meet you in the restaurant. Told her what I was wearing. I said, be glad to buy you dinner if I could just tell you about Jesus, because he loves you. And, of course, then she tried. And from then on, every time I went through Dallas, if I heard her, which was every week, twice, going out, coming back, I said, hey, Sugar Britches. Then I went by the Holy Roller. I said, this is the Holy Roller. She said, shut up. You just go on. Messing up her business. But you see, I wanted to tell them, in love now, not condemnation, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And, oh, what I was going to tell you about that time was after everything had smoothed over, the storm had blown over, you know, and they'd kind of figured out I ain't going nowhere. I couldn't. I had a flat tire. And see, it was God's truck and trailer. After I got a little more mature, I used to get out and kick it like some of you maybe. I've hurt my foot more than a few times. And I finally figured out it's his truck, not mine. If he wants to spend some of it in his shop, it's not my business. Hello? If he wants to give that mechanic some of his money, that's fine. Okay? So, but at the end of all that, then this weak little voice come on the CB and said, praise the Lord, brother. I've been here with you. I said, where? Where are you? You didn't say nothing when the war was going on. Yeah. Right?
You speak up to help me.
Yeah. I'm serious. That made me mad. If you was listening to all that, why didn't you say something? I don't know why he didn't say something. Maybe he's not a big mouth like me. I don't know. But, you know, I believe in standing up for what you think is right. I'm very patriotic. This is my country, and you will not run it down in my presence. Okay? And you're also not going to run down my God in my presence. Okay? We may have to shake hands, agree to disagree, but and we're not going to get into church doctrine. We're not going to argue about that, whether the Catholics right or wrong, the Baptists right or wrong, the Methodists. We're going to talk about Jesus. And the Word is always right. All right? Ephesians. Good gracious, I'm out of time. Real quick, Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this with me. I used to use a cassette recorder and you could hear it cut off. And then you'd know I was over time. This thing go forever. But Ephesians chapter 4. This is a scripture. The reason I want to cover this before we quit is this is a scripture that I base my theory, if you please, that everybody's called into the ministry. Every born-again Christian, remember, you don't need an 8 by 10 piece of paper, ordained or licensed. You don't need none of that. You need God's go-ahead, and it's in the book. All right, look at Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. There's the offices lined out. All of us Christians fit in one or more of them. It's possible to function in more than one. I myself consider myself a teacher. Teacher of the word. An evangelist, if you please. Another place, Paul says, do the work of an evangelist. What's an evangelist? He's an encourager, really. He goes to churches and does revivals, right? Of course, wins people to Christ, but his primary thing is get the church woke up. After all, it's called revival. Duh. We're supposed to be different after revival. We're supposed to be revived, right? What if the EMT come and so-called revive you, but never put the oxygen there, and they say, oh, well, okay. Everything's cool. He's going to die anyway. But now, verse 12, why did he give us these offices? Why did he call us to minister? It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, notice this, not literally age-wise, but young in the Lord, no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Speaking the truth in love. In love. I can tell any person doing anything, God loves you. And he will save you. He will deliver you if you want him to. He will not take anything from you that you don't surrender to him. He will not force anybody to go to heaven. He never sent anybody to hell. But he won't make you go to heaven. It's your choice and mine. Sharing our faith with one another will build us all up. I love to sit around a table in the restaurant. That's where I'll be going right after this. Just an automatic thing. I just go eat. But there's nothing better than sitting around just sharing about God. Right? Talking about what God's doing in your life. Heard many a wonderful testimony right here in this truck stop and truck stops all over the country. We need to do more of that, folks. And those listening to this CD, I want you to know something, that God wants to use you. Everybody in here has got a ministry to do. I can't do yours. You can't do mine. If you don't do it, it don't get done. When I was, I started say arguing with God, well, might as well be honest, yeah. When he led me to start this ministry in 1981. Of course, it was 1980 then. And I thought, that's the craziest thing I have ever heard of, going in a truck stop and preaching. Ain't gonna happen. And this went back and forth, back and forth. And you know, if you've ever dealt with that, you're losing. You don't argue with a road atlas, God, or your wife. You get to the same position. You lose. You lose. But I remember the Holy Spirit very sweetly saying, if you don't want to, I'll get somebody else. And I said, whoop, hold it. Hold it. I wish I could tell you that God spoke to my heart and I jumped up and ran to the truck stop and obeyed him. But that's just not true. But I'm so glad that I did. That I didn't not go. March of 1981, I can see it like it was yesterday. And you know, it doesn't matter where it's to start a trucking ministry. It doesn't matter if it's to do whatever. If God is leading you to do it, if he called you to reach one person, and you do that, I believe you're just as successful as Dr. Billy Graham ever hoped to be. You did what he called you to do. Your ministry might just be nice to somebody. I've said many times, I love to stand at the door and open the door. And I like to say, welcome to Walmart. And almost without fail, that brings a laugh to a dark world, to a person with no happiness, right? Healing the brokenhearted. We've had chaplains tell me stories that they stand at the door and open the door for Sunday morning, whatever, and had drivers come back and say, why did you open the door for me? I just wanted to. No catch. It don't cost you nothing. We never had nobody do that. Well, get used to it, bud. Right? All we got to do is first dedicate our life to him. First, tell him, I want to do that. I want to avail myself to you. Because again, he's not going to force you. But he has equipped us. He's given us all we need to be successful ministers for him. He gives us a mouth and a voice. Most of us have CB radios, right? Jesus said, talking to the disciples, they were marveling about what he had done during the 3 years. You know what he said? He said, all these things you'll do, and even greater, because I'm going to my Father. In other words, I finished my part. I'm turning it over to you. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to empower you, Acts 1 and 8, right? Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Why did he say Jerusalem, you reckon? Because that's where they were. You start where you are. My friend Don Farrell here, local pastor, says start where you are with what you got. That's simple philosophy, ain't it? Start where you are with what you got. Well, what have I got, God? Your mouth. Use it. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You don't have to be able to quote one single verse. In fact, I dare say I'd rather you know the author instead of the book. Because if you know the author, the book comes easy. You'll want to know the book. You'll want to hear this book. You'll want to grow. So tonight, as we close with a prayer, as I always do, I want to ask everybody in this room to pray the prayer with me. You say, I'm already a Christian. I don't need to. That's fine. That's great. But it won't hurt you to do it. Might be somebody in here that needs to. Maybe sin in your life. We want to get rid of that. This is a dumping zone. Leave the sin right here. And it might be that you just need to commit to Christ your life. In other words, recommit, whatever you want to call it, to say, I want to be your witness. Help me be your witness. And again, remember, it's not going to come without flack. It's not going to come without persecution. But listen, I'd rather worry about burnout than rusting out. I don't want to walk into heaven and him say, I gave you all kind of opportunities. What'd you do with it? Since I can't sing, then I just ain't going to do nothing. No. God did call me to preach, so I'm not going to do nothing. No. You do what he said. We're going to close with a simple little prayer, like I said. If you pray it with me, if you mean it from your heart, God's going to change your life forever. I promise you that. If there's an area of your life you haven't given to him, and praying this prayer of repentance, the Bible says, 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so glad he put that in there. I need that pretty regularly. The goal of Truck Stop Ministries is to see every truck driver born again. There's over 5 million in the United States. We need some help. Now, when I say our goal, I don't mean we're going to do it all. We just want to see it happen in conjunction with all the other chapels, all the other ministries, all the other people that's out there on the road winning. I want to see it happen. One pastor said, well, you'll never see that. And I said, then we don't need to spend time setting goals. We just work. Let's get out there. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, pray it out loud with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for not obeying you. I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart. Help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. Help me to be an effective witness wherever you send me. Give me the strength. Give me the power. Give me the love. Give me the ability to be that witness. I commit my life to you. Use me for your glory. I give you praise for it. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me and setting me free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you meant that from your heart, God's going to be using you. Get ready.